This is the son of PCJ. Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Well, hello everyone. It's very nice, as always, to have you join us again on the program. This week, our guest is Colin Miller, who worked at Radio South Africa for a number of years in the section that was in charge of monitors. Radio RSA was one of the favorites of many SWLs, and people still remember them fondly today. Also on today's program, Dan Hensley, as always, will join us for this week's Propagation Report, so stay tuned. This is Media Network Plus, the show that promises not to make the euro fall any further. First, here's Paulette with a look at some of the latest news from the world of media.
Masha Gessen has been appointed head of the Russian service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. The Russian journalist is a fierce critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin and was recently fired as editor of Russia's popular science and nature magazine Vokrug Sveta for refusing to cover President Putin's hang gliding stunt with cranes earlier this month. Gessen wrote on her Facebook page that she had been offered the candidacy for the director's post of the Russian service of Radio Liberty back in January, but turned down the offer because she had just started her job with Vokrug Sveta and planned to stay there a long time. She had been working at Radio Liberty as a consultant, and when she told executives last week that she had left Vokrug Sveta, they offered her the director's position. The imminent entry of CNBC Africa into the Rwandan market could boost investment inflows into the country. The television network has promised to promote investment initiatives through interviews with business, government, and economic leaders. CNBC Africa struck a deal with public broadcaster Rwanda Television RTV, which allows CNBC Africa to conduct economic and business news interviews via satellite in RTV studios. The partnership allows the two institutions to share content and revenue. Through the deal, Rwanda seeks to use CNBC to reach out to influential people in the business community and sell its initiatives to public and private sector players. On September 19th, Al Jazeera English, the English language news channel with headquarters in the Middle East, began broadcasting 24 hours a day on UK-based Freeview. Millions of viewers now get round-the-clock access to the RTS News Channel of the Year. Freeview had previously offered 5 hours per evening of the news channel on their digital terrestrial platform. Around 20 million homes with Freeview, including an estimated 11 million on the main set, are now able to watch the full range of Al Jazeera's international live news, analysis, investigations, and documentary programming throughout the day and night. Al Jazeera English already broadcasts a 24/7 schedule to more than 12 million UK homes on satellite. Beginning this week through October 7, 2012, CNN will place the muscle of its global resources behind our mobile society. This is an initiative exploring the new world where mobile technology has shifted from nicety to necessity. Appearing across all of CNN platforms, the month-long coverage will examine the impact of mobile devices on topics including personal relationships, work habits, cultural quirks, health, finance, and etiquette. The BBC has announced plans for a global simulcast across its radio networks to mark 90 years of radio. The unprecedented simulcast, called Radio Reunited, will be curated by Damon Albarn and broadcast on every UK local, network, and national station, as well as many world service outlets. It will air to a potential global audience of 120 million people across every inhabited continent at 1733 Greenwich Mean Time on November 14th. This date marks 90 years since the first broadcast from the British Broadcasting Company in 1922. The 3-minute transmission will be based on recorded messages from listeners around the world on the theme of the future. Each of an estimated 60 BBC radio stations will choose one message, and many of them will then be mixed together and set to a musical score specially composed by the Blur frontman. For these and other media news stories, visit the Kim Andrew Elliott blog. You can find a link to it at the bottom of our homepage, www.pcjmedia.com. That's the news for this week. I'm Paulette Macquarie.
And you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio, heard on the World Radio Network, Sky Digital in the UK, Sirius XM in North America, and on great partner stations everywhere. It's nice to have you with us. Today we're putting the spotlight on Radio RSA. Yes, Radio RSA, which stands for Radio Republic of South Africa. The station went off the air in the early 1990s after the abolishment of the apartheid system. The station is now known as Channel Africa and only broadcast to Africa, but Radio RSA was the world service of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. Now, this is a station that many people have very fond memories of, either because their programming wasn't that heavy, it was rather light and could be entertaining at times, or because of the very nice QSL cards that they would send off to listeners. The other thing that made Radio RSA very popular was its interval signal. Now, there are some people out there who, from time to time, will whistle an interval signal, like our good friend Andy Sennett, who mentioned that on our Facebook page. Even myself, I have been known to be walking down the street and, say, whistle the interval signal for Radio Moscow or the trumpet voluntary that's heard on the BBC World Service. I should say that the trumpet voluntary, I've whistled it, and I've injured myself doing it. But Radio RSA had a very special interval signal, the kind of thing that will stay in your head even after you've heard it once. But to tell us a little bit more, and before we get to our interview with Colin Miller, let's take a listen to Bernard Lehman. He was the one-time head of the English section at Radio RSA. Before that, he worked at the Swiss Shortwave Service. Now, here he is explaining about the interval signal. You're also going to hear another voice in there before the fanfare.
Radio RSA, the external service of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, broadcasts in English, French, German, Dutch, Portuguese, and Afrikaans, and in the African languages Swahili, Chichewa, Lozi, and Tsonga. The interval or identification signal used by the service is a montage of the call of a South African bird, the bokmakiri, a member of the shrike family, and a South African folk song played on a guitar. The Afrikaans title of the tune is Ver in die Wereld Kitty, which could be translated as Far, Far Away in the Wide, Wide World Kitty. Here is a recording of Radio RSA's identification signal which precedes every transmission.
This is Radio RSA, the voice of South Africa from Johannesburg.
That was the identification signal of Radio RSA, the external service of the South African Broadcasting Corporation.
That was Bernard Lehman, the one-time head of the English section of Radio RSA, featuring a little bit more information about the interval signal. Now, there was another voice in there that said, "This is Radio RSA," and blah, 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 and then there was some fanfare. Do you know who that voice is? Well, if you know who the voice is, you can write us, and you may win a little prize. I'll give out the email address at the end of the program. Colin Miller. Who is Colin Miller? Well, recently, I received an email from him, as he is a listener of the Happy Station Show, and he wanted me to put him in touch with Tom Mayer. After we sent a few emails back and forth, he mentioned that he used to work for Radio RSA in the monitoring department. Well, I couldn't miss up that opportunity, so I picked up the phone, gave him a call, or rather I should say we opened our computers and talked over Skype, and here's our little conversation.
Well, I was in charge of the monitoring panel at Radio RSA. They had about 500, maybe 400 to 500 monitors all over the world who sent in regular reception reports. And we weren't actually in the building that Radio RSA is at. We were actually out at Honeydew, which is about 10 miles, 15 kilometers out of town. And they had a receiving station there. And part of our duties were to do the frequency planning and the analyzing of the reception reports that we got from monitors. So I was in charge of that for a number of years.
Now, I'm really curious because you were getting all these letters from around the world, and South Africa, like, say, Australia, is really far from many places. I mean, what was your reaction when you would sit there and you'd get these letters from Southeast Asia, Asia, the Pacific, North America, Europe? Were you kind of looking at this going, this is amazing? It's just amazing. You know, I'm sitting here and people are listening to our programs in far off lands.
Yeah, well, back then it was amazing. Of course, now I wish that we'd had the technology back then that we have now, because you know, when somebody sent us a reception report, it would take a couple of weeks to get to us, and then we'd have to process it and send them a QSL card or whatever and respond. And of course, now you can do it virtually online and you know, through email.
Somebody told me a joke one time. He said, "Oh yeah, the days when we were to get the reception reports from our monitors and even listeners, it would take 3 weeks for us to get. There was the turnaround time, and then getting out the QSL card." He said, "By the time we would get everything out back out to them, the new schedule, the fall schedule, had already started."
That's right. Yeah. So if a couple of people did send us or did call us, you know, on the phone to give us an update, if there was a conflict with another station on the same frequency, they would call us and we would they would advise an alternate frequency, and we would do it that way.
Now, Radio RSA, when it was on air, how many frequencies would they use, let's say, at one time? Were they, let's say, like Radio Netherlands, where they could use maybe three or four frequencies targeting one specific area, or would they just use one?
Oh, no. Well, we had, we had four 250-kilowatt transmitters, and I think we were using one 100-kilowatt and three 500 kilowatts. What's that, eight? We could work on eight frequencies theoretically at the same time. You know, broadcasting more than one program, of course. Our busy time would have been the early evening around 1600, 1700 UTC.
And were these all transmissions from Meyerton?
Yeah, they all came from Meyerton. And actually, there are two sites at Meyerton. There's a Meyerton, the main shortwave international site with the big transmitters, and then there's a domestic one about a mile or 1.5 kilometers away. That's just a 100 kilowatt transmitter. Like, they relay the BBC and a few other stations as well for people in nearby countries.
How did you end up at Radio RSA? Were you looking for a job and just kind of walked in and you were at the right place at the right time? Or did you have any prior interest to work in radio?
Well, I had been working for many years at what they call a building society, which is a financial institution that's kind of like a mortgage corporation. And a job there was kind of monotonous and no prospects for promotion, etc. And I had, of course, for many years been a shortwave listener and gained a lot of experience in listening to shortwave. And Pete Martins, who was in charge at Panorama, he knew about me, and we had known each other for a number of years. And he gave me an opportunity to join them at Panorama. You know, I sent in an application and I was accepted on the basis of my knowledge of shortwave and able to help the monitors there at the station. You know, they would sometimes not know what station they were listening to, and they might need a bit of assistance from someone, and I was able to help them identify some of the difficult to identify stations.
So listening to shortwave, was this something that you had done from an early age? I mean, when you were growing up in South Africa, was it quite common for people, let's say, to listen to the BBC World Service or the Voice of America and other international broadcasters?
Well, there was a shortwave club that started in 1961. Before that, there was no organized DXing community in South Africa. I guess everybody just listened when they, you know, to shortwave, like you say, the BBC or Voice of America and AFRTS and a few other stations too. But once the I had, after arriving in South Africa in the late 40s, I met a radio ham, and that sparked my interest in radio and shortwave. And then my parents bought me a little Siemens shortwave radio for my birthday 1 year, and I started tuning around on that. It was only around 1959, I think it was, that I really got interested in shortwave. One night I was listening, tuning around the dial, and I heard a strong station. There was they're broadcasting in English, and at first I thought it was the BBC, and after a while it became apparent that it was actually Lisbon in Portugal, Emissora Nacional in Portugal. And then a little bit later in the evening I heard another station, I forget now, I think it was Radio Sweden or Switzerland, something like that. And I thought to myself, well, I wonder how many other stations are broadcasting in English. So I that's how my interest in DXing started, really seriously.
Colin, thank you very much for taking some time out to talk to us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you, Keith. It's been a real pleasure talking to you as well. And I hope all the listeners found the program interesting. And so you all take care.
And that was my little talk with Colin Miller, who worked in the monitoring section of Radio RSA. Now, a few moments ago, I mentioned that we're going to have a little contest. If you can guess who said this.
This is Radio RSA, the voice of South Africa from Johannesburg.
All right. Now, if you want to win a little gift, who knows what it could be? If you know who that voice is, let us know. Our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. And we will announce the winners in 2 weeks' time. Actually, before I was thinking, you know, maybe I should give another clue. But then I thought, there is one clue that I can give. And if I did that, you would probably get it right away, so I'm not going to do that. Anyway, once again, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. Now, next week, as you may know, at the end of the month, we also have the 55 monthly edition of this program. We're going to have a little bit more on Radio RSA, and we're also going to bring you an edition from November 1986, an edition of the DX Corner from Radio RSA that also features Colin Miller in that program. So that's next week, right here on Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. Okay, now time to take a look at what's going to happen with propagation over the next 7 days. Here's our own Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from September 22nd to September 28th, 2012. September 22nd through September 24th will have a 10.7 centimeter flux of 110. September 25th, 115. September 26th, 125. September 27th, 130. September 28th, 140. The A index is 8 for the first 2 days of this week, that's September 22nd and 23rd. The rest of the week we'll see an A index of 5, that's from September 24th to September 28th. The KP index starts out at 3 this week on September 22nd and 23rd. The KP index will then be stable at 2 all week long from September 24th to September 28th. The low in solar activity for more than the past week could change in the days ahead as a pair of active regions rotates onto the Earth side of the Sun. NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory recorded the signs of their approach during the early hours of September 18, 2012. The magnetic canopies of sunspots have been observed. Plasma-filled magnetic loops towering more than 50,000 kilometers above the Sun's eastern limb herald the approach of the active regions. This will likely account for the high A index throughout the week and the moderately high KP index on September 22nd and 23rd. New sunspots this week are 1569, 71, and 74 are all relatively close to each other, while 1573 hangs out lonely on the high and far western edge of the solar disk.
All right, thank you very much, Dan Hensley, with this week's propagation report. Guess what? We're now out of time. Before we go, once again, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. And if you wish to listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, including the monthly 55-minute edition, going back, I think we have archived till 2010, just go to our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Once again, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Since you're going to be online, I would also suggest you sign up to the PCJ Facebook page. We have a lot of very interesting discussions that go on, which include people from this program, Bob Zanotti, Paulette McCrory, Dan Hensley, as well as Andy Sennett, Jonathan Marks, as well as a number of very well-known listeners like Victor Gunatelica and others. Just do a search for PCJ Media and PCJ Radio in Facebook, click on Join the Group, and that's all you need to do. I need to leave you right now. So, on behalf of Dan Hensley and Paulette McCrory, this is Keith Powell wishing you well, hoping that we'll see you again in 7 days' time. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies. Well, guess what? I fooled you. It really wasn't a goodbye. It was maybe a fake goodbye. Well, there's a reason for that, because our own Bob Zanotti is now going to be joining us to tell us another way you can listen to this program, and you can take us anywhere you want and listen at any time. Bob?
You can hear PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news, talk, and entertainment mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher from the App Store. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
There you have it, the real ending. Bye-bye, everyone.